the sugya, the light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, we're on Mem Aleph on the base, 41B, towards the bottom. If you know, we're right at point 39. At point 39. At this point in the game, we need three separate verses to teach us that you can make a shliach. We need a verse by divorce. We need a verse by kachim. We need a verse by truma. And even by truma, we came out saying that since there were many types of people who cannot take the truma for the owner, such as a sharecropper, a partner, a guardian, or anyone who separates without permission, so we would have thought a shaliach not. So we need a pasuk to teach us gamatem that it works a shaliach. So you see, I put a bracket at the end of point 39 to tell you at this point the Gemara needs, should say verses, take out a, needs verses by divorce, kachim and truma to teach you that a shaliach helps. Okay, so now the Gemara's got one or two more questions, and this is how we are going to conclude. We are going to conclude this way, that we need these three verses, and we'll learn the rest of the Torah. What about that shlichus helps everywhere else? We'll learn it from specifically divorce and kachim, just like it works by divorce and kachim. We could learn everywhere else from that as well. We couldn't learn truma from divorce and kachim because it had so many exclusions anyway, so we felt it Torah felt necessary to say they're included as well. Marriage is learned from divorce, and for that matter, from divorce and kachim. But now there was a question, we're going to go back to how did we originally learn kachim? Let's go back. What was the source that by animal offerings a shaliach helps? We went back to that Korban Pesach. Where are we? One second. It's Kiddushin. Okay. It told us about a Korban Pesach that was lost. 15. What is the source that a shliach can slaughter kachim? So we had to come to point 18. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha. He told us the source that shlichus helps by kachim. Why does it say all of Israel will slaughter the Korban Pesach? It says all of Israel. Now how does all of Israel slaughter the Korban Pesach? Only one person slaughters each Korban. Right? It seemed to apply every single Jew. All 2 million Jews have to slaughter in Pesach. That's not going to be. But really only one person slaughters each Korban for his group. So that teaches us we'll attribute a shliach's actions to one who appointed him. Okay, so that's how we learned it. This we're going to be focusing on now. Rav Shua ben Korcha said, from the fact it says all of Israel will slaughter the Pesach, and we know that not everyone does, only one person slaughters it, that means he's a shliach for everybody else. So just like it works there, it works by kachim as well. Okay, so now I'm just going to ask a kasha on that. We're going to see that that's the way Rav Shua ben Korcha learns this pasuk. But there's another rabbi who learns the pasuk differently. If you learn it differently, then we're not going to know shlichus by kachim. That's the question we're going to deal with over here. And we're going to have to modify this answer a little bit. Ha, nichal Rav Shua ben Korcha. All is good and well if you learn like Rav Shua ben Korcha, right? Who used this pasuk to derive agency from this. Rabbi just showed it to you. Elala Rabbi Yonasan, but Rabbi Yonasan learns this pasuk for a different thing, and therefore the whole source of shlichus by kachim's out. How does Rabbi Yonasan learn it? Demapik leilahai kralat rosh achrina. He uses this pasuk to learn a different halacha, and therefore minolan. So where is he going to learn shlichus by kachim from? That's going to be the question we're going to have to answer. But first, we have to see how Rabbi Yonasan learned this pasuk differently. Did Tanya, we learned in our Braisa, Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Rabbi Yonasan says it like this, Minayin shekol Yisrael, kulam yotzim b'pesach. For we know that the entire nation, all the Jews, can fulfill their obligation of bringing a Korban Pesach. A little bit different than the other drasha Rav Shua ben Korcha. Going on to the next page now, 42a. See if this bug was fixed. No, this bug was not fixed yet. Slowly, all things that make you crazy, they fix all the bugs. But Pesach Echad, how do you know they can all be fulfilling the obligation through one single Korban Pesach offering? Now I have to know what he's asking over here. Rav Yonasan maintains that a single Pesach offering, one, could be offered on behalf of all of Israel. I mean, for 3-4 million Jews,
just one
Korban Pesach could be brought for everybody. I know there's going to be questions on this, but how do you know that? And everyone can fulfill his obligation through it. Now, of course, it's a problem. Although there could not possibly be enough meat in this offering for all Jews to eat a portion. Wait a minute, everyone has to have a kazayas of meat. Rabbi Yonasan does not see this as a problem. For he argues that one need not actually eat of a Pesach offering to fulfill his obligation. We don't hold to this opinion. But he says, you don't have to eat it. Rabbi Yonasan thinks that the sacrificial procedure, not eating the offering, is the crucial aspect of the Pesach service. This is an incredible chiddush, he says. Not necessarily one we agree with. But he says, how do I know that if one Jew brings the Korban Pesach, everybody will have been yotze, a Korban Pesach being brought. He holds that the mitzvah and the Seder night is not to eat the Korban Pesach, it's to bring the Korban Pesach. And one guy can be the shaykh for everybody. Now this is more of a theoretical question than a practical question. But he's looking for that as opposed to how Rabbi Shimon Korcha. Now he's going to use the pasuk Rabbi Shimon Korcha to say, how do you know that one, that everybody has to bring a Korban Pesach? Everybody has to bring a Korban Pesach. It says that one person brings as a shliach for others. Rabbi Shimon Korcha learned this very pasuk to say that one person can be a shliach for somebody else for a Korban Pesach. This Rabbi Yonasan is saying, I'm not learning that. I'm learning how does one person shech one Korban Pesach for the entire Jewish people. It's a whole different halacha. And he uses the very pasuk Rabbi Shimon Bar Korcha used.
But he's still a shaliach for the
people. Hold on! Good point. Just hold your thought. Shinemar, as it says, now he takes this pasuk. Vishakha tuoso kol kahala dasashol bein arbaim. The very pasuk Rabbi Shimon Bar Korcha used. The entire congregation of Israel will shecht it bein arbaim. Now, let's look at how he learns it. As noted above, the verse apparently implies that each and every Jew must participate in slaughtering a Pesach offering, which cannot be, since an offering is slaughtered by an individual, not a group, right? Can't have everybody doing it. Is everybody, the entire congregation, is slaughtering? Only one person can slaughter each offering. Elamikan, we see Shekol Yisrael Yoitzi Pesach Echod. Therefore, we see that the entire Jewish people can fulfill their obligation through the sacrifice of a single offering. Now, let's understand the point here. Rabbi Yonasan interprets this verse, kol, entire. The word kol is the critical word over here. It says the entire congregation. Not in the sense of each and every one has to do it, but rather in the sense of the whole. In other words, how do you learn the word entire congregation? Does it mean every single individual in the congregation does it? Or does it mean the whole congregation as a whole, but not each one? Right? Of Shabbat, the single, taking this way, the word does not refer to the identity of the slaughterers, but rather to the size of the group joining in a single Pesach offering. I know that the whole congregation could be one group. The way Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha learned it was differently. He's saying, how do you know that each Jew can shech this, that he shechs his Korban Pesach, and one person can shech for everybody else? Here we're saying one person can be, we can have one group, the whole Israel can be one group. Rabbi Yonasan thus infers that one offering is sufficient. He wants to learn, how do you know that one Korban is good for all the Jewish people? That's how he wants to learn that pasuk. Rabbi Shimon Bar Korcha learned, no, every Jew has to shech. Every Jew, the pasuk says, every Jew has a shech. Well, how does every Jew shech unless somebody shechs for somebody else? That's classic shlichus. Yeah. Rabbi Yonasan says, the pasuk means something else. That all the Jewish people can be covered with one Korban Pesach. That's how he learns the word kol. That the end, so how do they all get covered with one Korban Pesach? From this pasuk. So according to him, the question is, shliach bekatshim inali. How are you going to learn shlichus for, regarding the sacrifices? Okay, so how are we going to learn this? So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? I don't understand your thing. Minei, this is selfish shlichus. What's your whole point over here? This itself is shlichus. Even according to the way you're learning it, one guy's a shlichus for the whole Jewish people.
Right.
Right? So what are you trying to mean that it's different? That itself is shlichus.
That's right.
So he says, no, what? Maybe this is different. Now this is a point that we never raised initially, that the commentaries discuss why we never raised this point initially. There is an interesting thing about shlichus. Let me show you two different possibilities of shlichus. Let's say you have an obligation to do something, and I don't have anything to do with that obligation per se. Let's say like this, you own your piece of field, you have to give truma on your piece of field. Do I have to give truma on your piece of field? No, I have to give truma on my piece of field, right? Now, if you are appointing me to be a shliach, then you're appointing another Jew, who is a Jew, who's in the general mitzvah of truma, but you're telling me to do something for you that I really have nothing to do with it. Right? That's one kind of shliach, right? You're supposed to separate truma. I have nothing to do with your field. I'm a nice Jew, but I got my own field. You come over to me and ask me to be your shliach. Okay, so that'd be a type of shlichus where a total stranger is acting on your behalf. Okay. Now, what if the two of us have an obligation equally to do one thing, and now you're asking me to do it for the two of us? That's a little bit different kind of shlichus, because I have skin in the game of this particular shlichus. Do you see the difference between the two? Because I got to do it anyway for us. So we're already kind of connected, right? The first scenario, I got nothing to do with you. Okay, you want me to do it for you? Okay, if the Torah says I can be a shlich, I can be a shlich. Now, what is the bigger insight of shlichus? Which one of the two scenarios? Which would I think would be less to be a shlich? And which would you think is more yes to be a shlich?
When we have the obligation.
When you have the obligation, you think I'm more yes to be a shlich. When I don't have the obligation, you think less that I could be the shlich. You need a bigger chiddush, be a bigger insight, correct? So now let's take a look over here. So he said, okay, you're saying that one Jew can check for all the Jews. And we said, wait a minute, can't you learn shlichus from that? So he said, no, you couldn't. Because why? V'dilma shaynes, that's different. Why? Because how many people have to, doesn't the shliach himself have to bring a korban pesach? The eisle should, because wait, there's a partnership involved in this. Because every Jew has to bring the korban pesach. If one guy slaughters for the entire Jewish people, yes, he could be a shliach, but maybe only when you have skin in the game for your particular thing you need to do. Every Jew has to bring the korban pesach. I will bring one on behalf of everybody, and it works maybe only because I have to do it anyway, so that's on the shliach. But how do I know when I'm a total stranger that I can do shlichus for somebody else? That I don't know. So that's why that's not a good verse. So now, the point being, so now we need a different source. Now it really comes out, wait a minute, now I understand why that won't work for the other kind of shlichus where the other guy's not involved. Now the commentators ask, you know, isn't that an interesting question? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? Why didn't we ask that question last week when we brought the original pasuk for the original drasha? When every Jew has to shecht the korban pesach, every single Jew, not every single Jew, one Jew's gonna shecht it for another. Well, doesn't that guy have skin in the game too? Why didn't Gemara ask it then? Commentators ask it, we're not gonna get into it, but the truth is it comes out, that was a problem as well. So now we have to find a case of shlichus by kochim, where the shlich is not invested in that particular thing. Or something, someone's gotta teach us, or what? We're kinda stuck. Yes, we have a pasuk that says, yes, I can check for everybody, but that's not such a great source, cause that's only cause I'm invested in it as well. How do I know when somebody's not invested in it as well, he can be a shliach? Well, let's try another verse by Kutchim. Elamahakal, let's look, there's another pasuk by Korban Pesach. There's more than one pasuk by Korban Pesach. It says, V'yikulahem ish sela beis avos selabais. It says they should take themselves, each man takes a lamb for a family, a lamb for a household. Now one man takes a lamb for the household. So how many people need it? Everybody in the household. Let's say it's a household of 10. One man takes the korban for the household. So you see that shlichus helps. Right? See that shlichus helps. One man can take for everybody. But that's taking the korban. That's also shlichas. You have to, we're not shechting it yet. We're taking it. You have to take it and designate it. You have to have a designated korban. So one guy can designate for the group. Everyone says, well, how's that any better of a proof? The Dilma Hassan, that's got the same problem over there. Nowadays, he's shlichas. He's also a partner there. It's also gonna help. He just brought me another pasuk with partnership. He says, wait a minute. Now, what do we have now? We have now two psukim that the Torah says, by Korban Pesach, in different steps of the Korban Pesach, that a guy with partnership can be a shliach. Right? Taking the Korban Pesach, one guy can be the shliach because he has a partnership. Shechting the Korban Pesach, even though he's got a partnership, can be a shliach. Why didn't he two psukim about Korban Pesach to tell me a guy who's got a partnership can be a shliach? Wouldn't one pasuk be enough? Im kein, if so, trey kreilin. What do I need two verses to tell me? I can be a partner for taking the Korban Pesach. I can be a partner for shechting the Korban Pesach. And each one's teaching me the same law. Why does it have to teach you the same thing? So we have a rule. If two psukim seem to be teaching you the same thing, they're not. The second one is teaching you something else. There's a rule that if one pasuk is teaching you one thing, another pasuk seems to teach you the same thing, that second pasuk must be teaching you something up and beyond that same thing. So therefore, Gemara answers, if it has something to do where it is applicable in its own case, and therefore we'll learn it in a place where it's not necessarily directly connected. And let's see how he explains. We must give it application in a place where he does not have a connection and is acting exclusively for others. On the basis of this principle, we can assume that the second verse sanctions agency in all cases, even when the agent shares no stake in the action performs. In other words, we have two psukim. One pasuk says one guy can take for the whole group. Another pasuk says one guy can check for everybody. Those are two psukim that are teaching me that a guy can be a shliach for people that he's already a partner with. Alright, now I don't need the second one to teach me that same thing. Why did God have to write a second time that idea? So it's not for directly that idea, it's gotta be for an idea beyond the simple context. And what is that gonna be? The Gemara is gonna suggest it's when you're a shliach, when you're not a partner with other people. So it'll help even when you're not a partner. Let's take a look at the notes that elaborates on this. Whoop-a. It's an accepted Talmudic principle that if a verse's teaching is unnecessary in the specific context in which it is written, it may be applied to a more general context to which it is relevant. In the present case, we apply this principle as follows. Our verse describes an agent carrying out an act for himself as well as for others. It states an animal acquires an animal for himself or for his family. It is already known, however, that an agent may perform this kind of activity from the shechting part. And thus we apply the verse's sanctioning of agency to a more general case. That is, we take the verse to teach that agency is effective even when an agent acts exclusively on behalf of others and not himself. So in other words, it's like an extra drasha. Since the Torah has told us a second time, unnecessarily, that an agent can help by the kachim of a Korban Pesach, and even though the specifics of that case is where he's a partner with them, but I don't need the Torah to tell me twice that when the guy's a partner with people, he'll be an agent for the kachim of a Korban Pesach. So it has to teach me something a little bit beyond the topic. And therefore they say, what it's going to be, you could be an agent by kachim even when you're not a partner with them. That's what the extra teaching will tell us.
How can he not be a partner if he's a Jew? He's obligated to bring that korban.
He is.
He's part of the generation of the Jews that are bringing the korban.
He is. But the Torah wouldn't have to write it because it's obvious. Since he's a partner, it's obvious. Why did the Torah tell us this then? Why did it tell us something that I would already know from the other verse that already says that a partner can do for the others? If the Torah once said that one guy can shecht for the whole group, I already know that one guy who's a partner can help the rest of the group. So why do I need another pasuk to say that one person takes for the whole group? Why do I need to know that? It's saying this, it's saying a fact I would have known if the Torah wouldn't have wrote it, I know a guy could take it for the group. So it must be telling me, it's saying where partnership helps even when you're not a part, shlichus helps even when you're not a partner, where it's exclusive for somebody else. Right? That's how we're gonna learn. So it comes out, the teaching of kachim, we originally thought was from the one pasuk that we brought long ago, comes out that that's used for another teaching, A. B, we need another, so we have now two psukim about the kachim of a korban pesach, or even though it's exclusive, it is speaking by partnership, but the second one is not needed for partnership, so it'll teach us even when there is no partnership. From this pasuk of ish, what's the pasuk? The yichul have ish sel labeis avos sel labayis. A person takes a korban for the household. From that pasuk, we see, since it's extraneous, it teaches us that shlichus helps even when you're not a partner.
You couldn't say that they're two independent.
But it's in the same topic of korban pesach. Why would I think that one activity is different than the other? I got to do a number of things. One is I got to take it for the group. One is I got to shechta for the group. So if I know one, I know the other.
Right.
I know the other. So then what? So therefore, that seems to be the proof. The Gemara says, well, not so fast. Wait a minute. This second pasuk you're saying is extra, so it must be teaching us this. Wait a minute. There's another rabbi who uses the pasuk of ish celebes of us for a different teaching altogether. So we don't know this teaching. It's a whole different teaching. What? Hami boile ken Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak uses this for a different teaching. The word ish. It says ish in that second pasuk. Tom Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says, you know why it says a person does it for others? It says ish zoicha. A man can acquire on behalf of others. A man. A person takes for the whole group. But he has to be an ish. A man meaning an adult. That's what it's coming to teach me. Not shlichus, but you have to be an adult to be the shliach when you're a partner for somebody else. And not a minor. Okay? Look at the notes. Rabbi Yitzchak teaches that only an adult has the capacity to purchase or otherwise acquire an item on behalf of others. A minor does not have this ability, for he does not meet the scriptural requirement of being a man. Okay, at this point, the Gemara believes that the teaching of Rabbi Yitzchak is derived from our verse, which maintains a man in connection with the purchase of a Pesach offering. If this is so, the verse is needed to convey a teaching about the actual case it describes. Namely, that only a grown man can purchase an offering for the other members of this group. The verse would thus be necessary in its own place, and would have no right to argue that it conveys a teaching about an entirely different case. In other words, we could no longer argue that the verse sanctions agency when an agent does not also represent himself, for the verse does not actually describe this case. So we need it for ish and not as a child. Right, so I can do something for the whole group only when I'm an adult. Where it says, no, I don't need this ish for that. I could learn it from a different pasuk with an ish. Ha-hu, if you want that teaching, it says, may ish lafi achlo nafka. We can show Rabbi Yitzchak's law from another pasuk that says each. It says each man according to the amount he can eat. Right? Thus the previous slide verse each can be for what we wanted to begin with. It already has each before. Look, this verse 2 deals with preparations that must be made for the Pesach offering. The verse declares that if a household does not contain enough people to consume an entire lamb, they may enlarge their group by inviting members of another household to join them in the Pesach offering. The verse states that when such a union is formed of two groups, each man, again man, should count himself into the group according to what he can eat. Gemara now suggests that since this verse too specifies the word man, it could serve as the source of Yitzchak's exclusion of a minor. So we've got another ish to tell us, you gotta be an adult and not a minor. Okay. So now we can use that original verse how we wanted to it. Okay, Gemara says, no, I still need a pasuk. Vakati mi bayle. I still need this law to teach us a different law, the original ish. A different law that says what? What about one person alone? If one person has no friends, can you shech the korban pesach for one guy all by himself? The law is normally, it has to be a group. Korban Pesach has to be a group. What if the guy's got no friends? Can you shech the Pesach for one guy? Is it, no, it's not the optimal, but can you shech for one guy? How do we know? We're going to learn this. You can shech the Korban Pesach even for an individual. Look at this. 15. The Gemara refers to the idea that a Pesach sacrifice need not be offered by a group of people. It can also be offered by a single individual, provided that this person is capable of eating all the meat himself.
Whoa, that's a big boy.
So in other words, the normal way is you take a group, and between the group, they eat the Korban Pesach. That's why you can't use an individual. But it comes along with this rabbi and says, wait a minute, if the guy can eat the korban, let's look at a small little sheep, a little baby sheep, I don't know. Right? Anyway, that's the view of Rabbi Yossi. And what's going to come from the phrase, each man according to the amount he can eat. See, from that second each, not the teachers of minors excluded, but he said each man according to what he can eat, and it comes out the first pasuk of each will have to exclude a minor, so it won't be an extra pasuk. So what are we going to do? We need that each to say that one individual can do it. So I guess we're going to have to say that according to our answer, that's a machlokas if you can shut for one person. We're going to have to say, Savar lei, kamandam rei shech mosupech al yachid. We have to say that our opinion, what we're going to learn, shlichus by kachim, holds that you don't shech for one person. It's a machlokas. You don't shech for one person. Since we don't shech for one person, we don't use ish to teach one person. We have that pasuk ish to teach us an adult and not a minor. And the original pasuk is the extra pasuk that teaches us that you can use your shliachim when he's not invested in it. And that should be a two dots, if I'm not mistaken. And that really ends this part of the sugya, per se. We're going to be questions on this.
Sure.
But this is what we've got over here. So it comes out. So anyway, this now, look, this now concludes the Gemara's discussion of how Rabbi Yonasan derives the law of agency with respect to sacrifices. The problem is Rabbi Yonasan used this pasuk of animal sacrifices to not teach us typical shlichus. In the end, the Gemara is resolved that Rabbi Yonasan derives this law from the verse, they shall take each man a lamb for a family. This verse, which describes one who purchases a lamb for a group, is taken to teach the effectiveness of agency even when the agent acts exclusively for others. Although the verse does not actually deal with such a case, it's speaking where he's part of the group, it's interpreted in this way because it is already known that agency applies in other cases from the other verse of one guy slaughtering forever for other people. Right? We thought we needed that verse to teach us other things. The Gemara then defends his position that showing that the verse that they shall take each man a lamb for a family is not meant to teach a different law. What the Gemara thought it was, specifically it argues that the inability for a minor to purchase someone else need not be derived from this verse. It can be instead be derived from the verse each man according to what he can eat, which is a different pasuk. Although Rabbi Yossi uses the latter verse to teach that a Pesach offering can be slaughtered even for an individual, the Gemara condenses this need not present a difficulty for Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan can subscribe to the opposing view that you can't check for an individual only. The verse they shall take, each man is available to the source of agency when the agent acts exclusively for others. So it comes out according to Rabbi Yonasan, who's going to say that we're using the Pasuk of Shkita to teach that one person can check for the entire Jewish people. But that's not going to be a good enough verse to teach us agency where you're not invested. So we had the other pasuk where each man takes a lamb for everybody. That pasuk is extra. That's going to teach us agency even when you're not involved. There's other verses, there's other teachings that we need to learn, a minor and things like that. We'll learn that from other pasukim and not from here. And we don't have to use other verses. And that becomes the conclusion of how we will learn kachim. Kachim is learned from the fact now, from the second time the Torah says a man will take the Korban Pesach for his group. And since it's not needed for that teaching per se, because we already know that a man who's involved with a group can do it, therefore we learn that it works even when he's not involved in the group, and that's the limud of Kachim, and that's the conclusion. We have three separate verses of this. Well, Gemara now is going to discuss, okay, but we're going to see there's other places that teach the shlichus, and why couldn't we learn it from the rest? But this is the main idea has been brought forth. Okay.